Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone's having a magnificent day today. And how are you doing today, Ted?
Austin, I'm doing great. I didn't want to announce this on the show last week, but we were actually scheduled to fly to France and to Europe to do our report from over there this weekend. And we were supposed to fly out yesterday, and American Airlines contacted us. We're leaving here at the house at noon. American Airlines contacts us at 9 o'clock and tells them they had an equipment failure and they had no replacement plane for us to get to Philadelphia to make the overseas connection, and that the trip was canceled for yesterday. And I couldn't even believe it. And they refused to do any type of accommodation with any other airlines. Pretty bad service, actually, considering as much as I've flown with American. And so we were going to report from Notre Dame and do all that stuff, surprise you guys this week, and basically have shows over in Europe, and I was going to do videotapes and basically expose the immigrant crisis they're having in Europe. But that's not going to happen right now. And so I guess you could say it this way. The boys are back in town. I guess the boys never left. So we're going to keep doing what we do here and have a blast with it. I just really, really, really have enjoyed this. By the way, I want to start this off with a bit of humor today. This absolutely blows my mind. The obfuscation, the straight slanting journalism, the straight lying of Bill Clinton. I mean, it is actually a joke. What's so funny about it is ticket prices are plunging for the Bill and Hillary Clinton speaking tour. Nobody wants to hear these two has-beens, these two habitual, never-ending liars, career criminals, basically. Nobody wants to talk about them or go to them. And the New York Post put this up, and it said the tickets to the latest stop on Bill and Hillary Clinton's an hour's go as little as $20 on the secondary market, and that basically they can't fill the seats, even at $20. And then Hillary says this. After Benghazi, after what she did, you know, with all of the cover-ups and all the lies in the Obama White House, she says, "I really believe that we are in a crisis, a constitutional crisis," Hillary Clinton said during her 20-minute performance or 90-minute performance presented as an interview of her and her husband. "This is a test of our country, okay?" And then Bill Clinton said this, and I started laughing, and I posted this to our website at healthmasters.com. It says, Bill, quote, "These people, they don't believe the same set of rules apply to them that apply to everyone else," Bill Clinton said of the Trump administration. I don't even know how to respond to this, Austin. "They don't believe that the same set of rules applies to everybody else." Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton have a 100-person body count following them where they go, including Vince Foster and a boatload of other people in Arkansas. These two are career criminal and, in my opinion, murderers. I mean, it's unbelievable what they've done and what they've gotten away with. In fact, another story just came out this morning, and basically I added this to it. You know, why Julian Assange basically is riding in jail right now. There's a lawsuit that just got started against Hillary Clinton for her campaign that said that she came up with it. She basically stole and misappropriated about $70 million from her campaign while she was running in 2016 and 15 and 14. I mean, think about that for a second. Here, Julian Assange is basically sitting and rotting in jail, and Hillary Clinton basically steals almost $100 million from her own campaign, and they're sitting around and saying how the rules don't apply to Hillary or to the Trumps, according to them. I mean, Austin, you literally can't make this stuff up. I mean, you sit back and you look at it and you go, wow, that's just almost hard for me to believe that this is actually happening and that Hillary Clinton is in the middle of this stuff again. And again, nobody seems to care. Nobody seems to care. I mean, here it is, right? Here's the article. It came out of the Federalist, and it said, Hillary Clinton, FEC records indicate that she illegally laundered $84 million. Mainstream media took no notice of a federal court filing that exposes an $84 million money laundering conspiracy Democrats executed during the 2016 presidential election. It says the press continues to feed the dying Russian collusion conspiracy theory, spending Friday's news cycle regurgitating Democrat talking points from the just-filed Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act lawsuit against the Trump campaign, WikiLeaks in Russia. Yet the mainstream media took no notice of last week's federal court filing that exposes an $84 million money laundering conspiracy the Democratic National Committee and the Hillary Clinton campaign executed during the 2016 presidential election. It never, ever ends. And, of course, why Trump sits in Washington and does absolutely nothing with everybody screaming, lock her up, lock her up. And James Woods was basically taken off of Twitter now. He had a huge Twitter following. And now it says that Donald Trump is shocked by James Woods' ban from Twitter. And he goes on to say that social media have no idea the problems they are causing for themselves. I mean, but yet the president fiddles while Rome burns and does absolutely nothing. I mean, all he quoted from was an old saying. It says, if you're trying to kill the king, you best not miss. With the hashtag, hang them all. And it's so true. And, you know, and so people, this was actually an old play that he was quoting. But the craziest part about this is that, you know, we have the president sitting there and twiddling, right, while Washington, D.C. burns, while the immigrants are pouring across the border, while James Woods gets thrown off of Twitter, while so many other conservatives and platforms are being deeped over, are being taken off the internet, while all of this stuff is happening, and while, you know, Julian Assange is in prison, and while Bill and Hillary are saying that Trump doesn't apply to the same rules. My question is this to you, Austin. Does anybody believe this stuff anymore? I mean, it's gotten so far out there and so weird that it's so stupid that are the American people, Austin, have they had the fluoride IV in their arm for so long that they're actually still believing this stuff, or are they starting to ask questions, bud? What do you think?
I mean, I try to get a fair, you know, group of people, you know, of opinions when I go out and kind of talk to people. And it's definitely, you know, I would say it's probably like a 70-30 split. About 70 people are still got their head in the sand with their fluoride IV in, and about 30% are awake. That's kind of my consensus on it because, yeah, you still talk to a lot of people now, and they believe the mainstream narrative. They believe, it's funny, there was a video that popped up on Instagram the other day. I was actually looking at Healthmaster's account, and there was a video, a couple of accounts we followed, and there was footage from a news outlet on September 11th, 2001. Okay? And it was aired one time that morning, 2001, September 11th, and there was an individual, it was a news anchor, outside of the Pentagon, and the lady was interviewing him, you know, back at the main station, and she's talking to him, and he goes, yeah, I'm here at the Pentagon now, I'm looking at this gaping hole they have, they're starting to put out the fires now. EMTs everywhere, and he goes, but one thing that is strange, he goes, I cannot find any resemblance or any pieces of a plane anywhere around the Pentagon. Not kidding. He says that completely serious. And she goes, oh, that's strange. Well, we'll have to get back to you. And then she cuts off and goes to the next thing they're talking about with that whole morning. And never aired again. I mean, it was old footage. And so what's interesting is they have to continually keep the narrative in their direction that they want. The same thing that we're seeing with Ebola right now over in Africa. I've continually been watching this because I've been so curious. There's so much weird things that have been going on continuously over there. They're now saying that the Ebola outbreak has claimed over more than 1,000 lives over towards West Africa now. They're saying that the World Health Organization is coming into an issue because they're starting to have conflict from groups that are coming in there. Basically, militia members are starting to kill more medical workers again. This happened last time this happened over there. They just said a World Health Organization individual was killed last month during assault on the hospital. They said the outbreak of the highly contagious virus, which, you know, basically kills a ton of individuals, it had 11,000 kill ratio from 2014 to 2016. Now, ironically enough, you guys know the CDC was awarded a patent on the Ebola virus in 2010. 3 years later, Ebola suddenly appeared in West Africa. Now, what a lot of people don't realize is that if you follow the mainstream media, the mainstream narrative of what they tell you is that Ebola comes from the tainted bush meat, basically, in West Africa. Either, you know, you eat some of this meat or something like that. But what most of the media won't say is that up until 2013, Ebola had not been seen in West Africa ever. In fact, the last case of Ebola in East Africa was in 1976. 1976 was the last time they even saw Ebola in East Africa. Now, all of a sudden, fast forward 50 years, 3,500 kilometers west to West Africa, all of a sudden, a little boy in a community contracts Ebola. Apparently without infecting anyone else along the way to West Africa, and now all of a sudden it's this massive issue. Now what people don't realize is that the patent that the CDC has on Ebola gives the government ownership of all variants of Ebola which share 70% or more of the protein sequences described in the patent. This is some strange stuff when you start seeing what's going on here, and then you start doing some research and you find out that U.S. government secret biological warfare research in Africa countries just happens to be situated right around the Ebola hotspots, with some even suggesting that our own military is testing weaponized virus on innocent people. Then you have Merck come out now with the World Health Organization last month and say they've developed a vaccine that cures 97.5% of the population that they've tested it on now. So which one is it? Are we still seeing this massive epidemic? Are we seeing the virus going and growing in astronomical proportions? Are we seeing a vaccine that's working significantly well? What is the actual truth that's going on over there? But when you realize that you have these groups now that can test these things, independent contractors, independent pharmaceutical companies, and test them in other countries with no oversight, no restrictions, no laws, because they're in a different country, and they can test these things, how do we know that they're not testing a weaponized Ebola vaccine that has a delayed release Ebola, you know, virus in it that comes out 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 weeks? We don't know what they're doing. So this is something that everybody needs to understand, is that we're continually seeing the lies, and you have to push through them and figure out what's going on. It's funny, Dad, you talked about Hillary and Bill Clinton, what a kind of a joke they've turned into. I saw a short clip of a news interview she did with Maddow, Rachel Maddow, real hardcore left liberal. And what's so funny is now Hillary Clinton, the failed presidential candidate, appeared on NBC last Wednesday and hypothetically called for China to hack into the IRS and obtain President Trump's tax returns. I kid you not, it's got like hardly any news coverage at all, because she basically, I mean, made herself look like a complete and total treasonous idiot. She went on to say, Russia is clearly backing all the Republicans. Why don't we ask China to back us? Or could you not? She goes, that's right. Not only that, China, if you're listening, why don't you get Trump's tax return? She demanded in a hypothetical scenario. I'm sure our media would richly reward you. I mean, if you're going to let Russia get away with what they did and they're still doing, so hey, let's have a great power contest. Let's get the Chinese on the side of somebody else, an animated Clinton said. So now she's so far in the loony bin, lost her mind, gone cuckoos, that she's now saying on national television in interviews that she is endorsing the Chinese to hack IRS to get Trump's tax returns so that the Chinese essentially will be backing the Democratic candidates. Now, I don't have to tell you that that's not only is that highly illegal, that's also so contradictive of what just happened, what we saw with the Mueller report and everything now. We see this narrative constantly spinning over and over and over again. So it's ironic to me when Bill Clinton essentially comes out and says, you know, certain people are, they're above the law. You know, they don't think the laws apply to them. When you see these two clowns and what they've been as far as career criminals all the way back to Mena, Arkansas, running cocaine from Columbia, this is something that's so strange to me. But again, you have to take the blinders off and you have to look past the left-right Republican-Democrat paradigm that they have right now, because this is the narrative that they want you to focus on. This is what they want you to keep looking at. They don't want you to look at anything else going on. They don't want to look at the fact that even though France is a completely and totally gun-free zone, by the way, you guys know that, population, general civilian population, cannot own any type of significant firearms whatsoever. Police in the French commune of Vallix-Vern-Lyon made a shocking discovery over the weekend where they have found, yet another military-grade rocket launcher in a Islamic Muslim invader's car. And what I mean by that is essentially a Islamic, individual, a Muslim that came in, migrant that came into France now. The rocket launcher was discovered in the trunk of Renault Mangane belonging to two alleged criminals on Friday, even after police caught the pair outside a garage and later discovered the two men identified as a 22-year-old and 26-year-old Muslim migrants. After arresting the pair, police said they searched the garage and found a number of items, including checkbooks, stolen bank cards, a number of automobile parts, and stolen license plates. Now, the ironic of this is the third military-level weapon that is found in the last 2 months alone. Just last year, French police in the heavily migrant-populated Saint-Denis suburbs of Paris also discovered anti-tank rocket launcher, and only a few months later, another even larger weapons cache, including two loaded and ready-to-fire M80 rocket launchers capable of destroying tanks, two fully automatic Kalashnikovs, one Spanish automatic rifle, and two other American machine guns. They added the officers also found 22 long rifles, including seven shotguns, 80 kilograms of ammunition, and four radar jammers. Now, what happened, though? I thought France is a gun-free state, right? You can't get guns into France because it's illegal to have guns in France, right? So how in the world are they getting to the point where they're getting M80 loaded rocket launchers that are anti-tank weapons into the country, and everybody just goes, we don't know. We don't know what happened here. This, again, is a concerted effort to take down Europe because these guys are not getting rocket launchers and surface-to-air missiles and anti-tank missiles into France by themselves. They're not throwing in an M80 rocket launcher. If you guys have ever seen one of those, they're quite large. They're not throwing them into a backpack and walking across the border. They're obviously being helped out, especially with the amount of ammunition, machine guns, and weaponry that these guys are constantly being caught with in France. It appears to me that they are trying to set up another terrorist attack in France or trying to set up another revolt as far as where the Muslims are going to come together in France, which you now know the population of Muslims in France is enormous, and take over France by force, nothing short of another Muslim invasion. So just thought that was interesting, Dad, when we're starting to find numerous surface-to-air missiles and anti-tank rocket launchers in civilian population of Muslim migrants in France now.
You know, Austin, it's interesting to me because the state of Florida this past, in its legislative body this past week, the law for schools and for higher forms of education in elementary schools and high schools, that teachers, under the penalty of law, under the penalty of criminal penalty or fining or whatever they're going to do to them, cannot say anything about Israel. They can't talk about Israel. They can't even mention anything about Israel in a defamatory state, nor can they talk about what happened in World War II and with the Holocaust. I mean, if you question the amount of people who died or question the narrative or question anything, you can't do it now. It's illegal. The state of Florida has banned that for teachers, all the way up to the university levels. Would be they banned free thought. Same thing kind of like they've done with Google and with Facebook and all these other different platforms that have taken, the different people off the James Woods off of Twitter and all these people banned on Facebook on their platforms. And now they're telling people on Facebook that if you promote any websites or put even a link to another website that disagree with traditional thought, that you too can be banned. I mean, so they're basically censoring 2 billion people on the planet who use Facebook. They're censoring them. Now, the irony of all of this is you've got to ask yourself a question. Was the Mossad involved in 9/11? I believe they were, because remember we had the dancing Israelis after 9/11 was coming down. They were actually dancing on the rooftop, and they were immediately deported. Trump thought they were basically the dancing, Muslims, but they were the dancing Israelis. And so you've got a group of people who basically own Hollywood, a group of people who, these are the Sabbateans now, who own the media, a group of people that can now go into the legislative bodies of our states, including Florida, and say it's illegal, to talk about certain things or certain countries. You can't talk about them. So you have to ask yourself a question. How much is the Mossad involved in France right now, Austin? How much is the Mossad involved in France? Because the Mossad is arguably the best Secret Service of any of the Secret Service agencies, including the CIA and MI6. Now, they're the best, Mossad. They're phenomenal, actually. They're very, very good. I admire them for their ability to get in and get things done and do it very covertly. The irony of all of this stuff is now, how do we know that they're not also involved in bringing these rocket launchers or MI6 or the CIA or the international banking community or whoever's involved with any of it into France to cause a major uprising or another false flag terrorism attack? I mean, like you said, they're not sticking an M80 rocket launcher in their backpack. You know, they're not slinging that on a hip belt. You know, people are going to see it. They're not going to allow them to walk around with it. So they're picking these armaments up, you know, at will from somebody who's giving them to them. Maybe it's just saying the support of ISIS. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, you know, that's, you know, I heard one person say the ISIS was a code name for the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. The New York Post has said this, though. Cartels now, because of Donald Trump, are thriving in New Mexico County after the feds shut down checkpoints. Now, you heard that right. In Alamogordo, New Mexico, in a sprawling desert city in the shadow of the Sacramento Mountains, local officials are fed up with the border crisis and have gone rogue. Oturo County last month became the first border community to declare a state of emergency after the federal government shut down two local checkpoints. It's Donald Trump in the area, which had traditionally provided a second line of defense against shipments of drugs and illegal immigrants who managed to sneak through the border to El Paso about 90 miles to the south. It's a green light for the cartels when border checkpoints are down, the sheriff said. Black, the sheriff, who has lived in the city of nearly 32,000 his whole life, said that he has 44 gun toters overseeing the county's 6,000 square miles of lonely ranch land and pistachio orchards nestled among the national parkland and the Holloman Air Force Base. Now the lawman said he has to deploy his own overworked forces to stop drugs such as methamphetamines, marijuana, fentanyl from coming through his territory, which has to be some 65,000 people. So here's the question. You know, we've got $45 billion of money we can give to Israel in aid, plus the other tens of billions of dollars we give to all these other countries in aid, plus all of the money that's being spent with the $1.2 trillion proposed budget for our national defense, which my question is, if we have such a huge $1.2 trillion national defense budget in the United States now, and it keeps going up, 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 up under our warmongering president who said he wasn't going to be a warmongering president, why can't we protect our own borders? That's a simple question. Why, with over $1 trillion being spent in our military, that this cartel checkpoint in Mexico was shut down, and now this sheriff is being required to do this? And why was it the other day when the feds came in and arrested one of the guys who was arresting the migrants coming in from Mexico because he had a, you know, felony and he had a weapon on him? I mean, why are we doing this? Why are we allowing the Mexican government authorities and the cartels? Oh, I have the answer to that. Here's the answer. The world is run by organized crime. The world is run by drug cartels. The world is run by the CIA, who runs the drug cartels, who's managed by the Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian groups. That's what I've been telling you guys for 5 years, and now we're seeing that that was true. This whole thing that we have, that we've been given as far as our war on drugs, is a ruse. It's a ruse. Just basically, all it is basically designed to allow us to pretend like we're doing something while we bring in $1.5 trillion worth of heroin and fentanyl and who knows what else, and methamphetamines south of the border and through C-130 airplanes through lily pad government CIA sites around the world. See, the reason they have to run the drugs through Mexico, it has nothing to do with the ability to transport the drugs via the military into this country. It's the obfuscation. Now listen to me, friends. We haven't talked about this before. The reason they allow this... Hey, hang on a second. The reason they're allowing this, because they have to make it look like Mexico's the problem. The reason they're allowing this, excuse me, they want to make it look like the drug cartels out of Colombia, which we established, by the way. If you want to watch the movie on that, Tom Cruise did a good one on it called Made in America, or America Made. I can't remember. Excuse me for coughing. But the reality is this. We have to maintain some deniability. If there was no drugs coming through Mexico and these stories weren't being broken, then the American people would have no way on how to figure out where the drugs are coming from. Think about that for a second. The drugs are being brought in on C-130 transports out of Afghanistan, probably through Germany or through Turkey, flown directly into the United States, probably with a refueling stop. And what they're doing is they're being distributed to the local drug lords and drug cartels in our cities through distribution points. You have to think about this for a second. The drug industry is bigger than the automobile industry in this country. That's pretty big, $1.5 trillion. And so this is a huge organized crime syndicate network that does this. They're monstrous. You've got the Italian mafia, the Jewish mafia, the Irish mafia, the Chinese mafia, the Russian mafia. You got all these different mafias involved in these drug distribution grids. And they have different organized crime families run certain cities, all sponsored through the CIA. This is the America that we have right now. This is the America that nobody will talk about. So they've got to run stories like this in the New York Post about all the drugs coming into this small town in Texas or New Mexico, because they want people to know that, hey, look, we've got a problem coming in south of the border. Well, then if we have a problem coming in south of the border, we have to ask ourselves a question. If $1.5 trillion of drugs are coming in across the border, why doesn't Donald Trump just close the border? Why won't we police our own border? Well, we can't police our own border, because if we police our own border and we stop the drugs and the drugs don't go down in volume, we're going to know they're coming in from somewhere else. There you go. How about that? Austin, what do you think, and what's your next story, bud?
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's exactly what we see going on right now. Also, too, is more and more of the credit card processing companies are slowly starting to crack down on our ability to even talk freely. You know, like Dad said, it's ironic that we're seeing bill after bill after bill brought in about people not being able to essentially talk the truth, whether it's about Israel or anything. They're being completely and totally banned, censored. Tape over your mouth. And it's crazy to me how they're actually even getting these bills to have any traction when you're going in and saying, you're not allowed to say anything anti-Israel. You can't say anything about them. You can't say anything negatively. You can't teach anything. You can't question anything about them. And I don't even understand how these bills are not being challenged immediately by the First Amendment. I mean, I really don't understand it yet, and I guess it's because we see so many of our individuals in government that are bought and paid for. I mean, like we talked about last week, Ron DeSantis, he's our governor in Florida. I was extremely excited to get him here. I still think he's done some good stuff so far. A lot of stuff that's been really positive. But I was extremely disappointed when he took half of the Florida cabinet to go have a Florida cabinet meeting in Israel. I mean, not only am I even questioning the fact of who paid for all the plane tickets or the private jet tickets or the per diem and the housing or whatever else we did in Israel. I don't know. Or was it subsidized by Israel? I don't know. But, I mean, why in the world do we have a state governor going to have a cabinet meeting in Israel, essentially, in my opinion, to go kiss the feet of the rulers that put him in power? There's no other legitimate reason why you have. I've never seen that before. I mean, can you imagine if we had a governor go in and say, hey, I'm going to go meet, our Florida governor's going to go meet with North Korea or go meet with China. Everybody would go, what the heck is going on? Are you kidding me? We're having a cabinet meeting in North Korea with our Florida governor? They'd be outraged. I mean, there'd be people walking around the streets picketing. I guarantee they'd be going to Tallahassee. So why do we have a governor that's going to North Korea? Why are we having a cabinet meeting over there? Is there something going on that we're not being told about, obviously? But no, it's Israel's completely fine. Private jet cabinet meeting, Israel's cool. Don't worry about it. We're going to go over there, hang out for a couple days. Nothing to see here. Okay, who's paying for that? I don't know. But what's ironic now is we're starting to see so many financial institutions blocking payment to individuals or groups because they're saying that their hate speech or far right, or the now the thing that they're starting to say is anti-Semitic, anti-Islamic, or basically neo-Nazi, skinhead, white supremacist. Those are the three categories that they can somehow label you in any way, shape, or form. Ben Swan, who actually has done some pretty good stuff, he had an interview with Russia Today following the reports that MasterCard now is now censoring far-right individuals. He said the New York-based company is set up an internal human rights committee from MasterCard that will monitor payments to any white supremacist groups, anti-Islamic activists, or any anti-Semitic activists. He goes on to say the problem is that everyone has their own views, and in a free society, the idea of a free society is that you're free to have your belief systems, as long as you're not harming anyone else physically. He goes, I might not agree with somebody that's a white supremacist, but your belief system belongs to you, and you have the right to be wrong. White supremacists have the right to be wrong. Now, a lot of people are going to get mad about that last statement, but he's completely accurate about it. If somebody is anti-American and they live in the United States, oh, imagine that. We put up with them. We have a whole bundle of them up in Minnesota and Dearborn, Michigan as well that absolutely hate Americans that won't even allow white Americans or black Americans or Hispanic Americans to come into their little town because they are full-blown Sharia law and they do not let anybody in there that is not Islamic. Do some research on that. Look up the YouTube videos. Find out when the white Christians went up there to talk about Christ and walked around with Bibles, the Islamic Muslim community got so mad, started physically and verbally assaulting them, that the local police told the white individuals that were carrying Bibles they had to leave the area because they did not think they could keep the community subdued long enough and they were going to start rioting. I kid you not. Go watch the videos on YouTube. You can watch it firsthand. So it's okay when anybody else wants to talk bad about America or Christians or whites. That's okay. But anybody else that even has a differing viewpoint, it's not what they want it to be, they're starting to completely and totally not only block their free speech, as we've seen on Twitter, Facebook, Google, all these things now, now they're blocking their ability to do business freely on their way. MasterCard is not the only holder of purse strings that is mulling the selective banning of individuals from their services and funds. Patron and PayPal have previously barred individuals from receiving payments using their platform due to their views. So I told you guys before, I do not use PayPal. Will not use PayPal. I know it's convenient for a lot of people. However, it is not something that I'm going to contribute, 2.8% of every charge to them. By the way, that's what they get. 2.8% of every charge you do, they get. So you spend $100, they get $2.80 every single charge. So as everybody wants to talk bad about our ability to have our free speech revoked and it's not right and it's wrong and all this stuff, and then they turn around and use PayPal all the time, you got to start asking yourself a question. Why in the world are you contributing to the giant monster known as PayPal? Now we see MasterCard doing the same thing. This one's going to be even bigger, though, because now U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission has now blessed MasterCard's undertaking. By doing this, Swan believes the government's granted big corporations the ability to control what voices are heard, and he believes this could lead to a wider crackdown on financial payments to anyone who the government would see as unfavorable. He goes on to say, the fact that the SEC has now given the green light to this essentially says the SEC supports the idea of censoring these groups in order to freeze out anyone you don't agree with. It is such a dystopian 1894 worldview, but yet we're living through it right now. So it's a pretty interesting article from Ben Swan, but he's absolutely right about this. What we're seeing now with the credit card processors censoring and blocking individuals, and some people say, well, the only thing I've seen is hardcore, you know, right-wing neo-Nazis. Okay. So we have some hardcore neo-Nazis that are full-blown racist still, and they're blocking them. Why in the world do you possibly think that's going to stop there? Once they set a precedent, once the line in the sand has been crossed, once they have the ability to start blocking individuals from transactions, and by the way, it's not just white supremacist neo-Nazis. I know numerous individuals who have been blocked on PayPal for their very outspoken beliefs, and they are nowhere even near racist, nor are they ever even labeled a white supremacist. They are using that as a title to categorize anybody that doesn't go along with the narrative, including why they say any anti-Semitic or anti-Islamic activist. They're also blocking off MasterCard. So as we see the world turn, we slowly see this grid build up around us that is continually preventing us from getting free speech out. That is why it's so important, guys, that you please forward this show to everybody you know that you can try to wake up. get this information out there. It is crucial. I tell people that over and over and over again, but we have to get this information out as much as we physically can, because there's going to reach a point in time where it's going to start becoming illegal for us to say this. And more than likely, we're going to have to make a choice whether or not we're going to exercise our First Amendment right, or we're going to allow ourselves to be censored by a tyrannical regime. And at that point in time, everybody has to understand where we are, and we're not that far off from what we're seeing right now, Dad.
Austin, that's a great summary. It's a sad story. I mean, you're right. They're censoring people via money now. They're doing this when they do the same thing with YouTube, when they demonetize people. When they don't like what they say, they demonetize them, which stops that person from basically raising revenue. I know multiple websites that were real news that were basically demonetized and shut down, and they had to go to get a job somewhere else. They couldn't work anymore because they couldn't generate revenue from doing what they were doing on YouTube. I know with Forbidden Knowledge TV, with Alexandra Bruce, it's her sale, her volume went down by, gosh, almost 90% as far as being monetized. They just basically blacklisted her and basically demonetized her, deplatformed her and everything else. She was putting out some really good articles. And she's a friend of mine. She's been on the show before as a guest. And the same thing's happened with Hagman. The same thing's happened with Hodges. The same thing happened with me. They pretty much took down every one of my YouTube videos. I mean, no reason. Copyright infringement, whatever that means. I don't know what that even means. I mean, they wouldn't give me an idea what it was. So we had to shut the whole thing down on that. This is what these guys do, and nobody wants to talk about it. And speaking about right-wing get-the-news-out organizations, finally, Minneapolis has to pay for the police shooting when the absolute moron of a Somalian with probably a 59 IQ shot the Australian woman last 2 years ago when she ran outside to tell the police what she had heard in her pajamas, and he shot her in the chest and killed her. Minneapolis now has agreed to pay $20 million to the family in settlement.
Wow.
Now, this is crazy. Remember that the attorneys are going to get half of this, all right? The $18 million for the family, $2 million to be donated to anti-violence. Listen to this. And $2 million to be donated to an anti-gun violence group, a city official said. Now, I got to stop for a second. It was a stinking cop who shot the girl. He wasn't a gun violence group. And then they go on and say, this isn't a victory for anyone, but rather a way for our city to move forward, Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Fry said, and announcing the settlement at a news conference. And I have to believe that we will all move together, united in a belief in such tragedy should never have occurred in our city. Now, what's interesting about this is the man was charged. He was charged with third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter, and he was found guilty. Okay, so that boy's going to prison. I hope he's going to prison for doing this. Personally, he needs to be locked up for the rest of his life. He should never have been given a doggone gun, never been given a badge. But they convicted him of third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter. The prosecutor says the first time a police officer in Minnesota was convicted of murder. The wave of killings of and black men by teens by U.S. police in recent years has prompted street protests. But in this case, Diamond was a white and Noor is a black Somalian immigrant. There you go, black Somalian immigrant. Make sure, Minneapolis, you listen to me, Minneapolis. You unbelievable liberal cesspool. You listen to me, Minneapolis. Hire more of these Somalians with their 59 IQs. Strap guns to their hips and give them a badge. And watch and see what happens. Your doggone affirmative action has run amok. You guys are Looney Tunes, and you got a bunch of nutbags running your state and city legislatures and county governments and city governments who basically don't know what the heck they're doing. You've got Sharia law in your cities. You got places where people can't even go who are Christian. And this is America, and you guys think it's okay? None of it's okay. So I'm really happy this city had to pay $20 million. They probably had insurance for this, by the way, and they probably didn't have to pay anything out of their own pocket. That's my opinion. But the sad part about it, Austin, is it never, ever ends, because the person who got killed is still dead. Her family is still in mourning, and this Somalian freakoid who was given a gun will probably only get 2 or 3 or 4 years in prison because he's a cop. And then he'll get out, and he'll be running around doing who knows what again. He needs to have his butt deported back to Somalia after he gets out of jail. Now, I'm going to stop before I start yelling too much. By the way, human drugs are polluting the water, and animals are swimming in it. Salmon. on psychotropics, platypuses on Prozac, and other strange tales from the wild. And it's talking about what's going on with all of the animals in the oceans that are basically being given this stuff via pollution and people flushing their drugs and urine down the toilets and it getting into the ecosystem and what a tragedy it is for these animals and what it's doing to them. By the way, the GM Ohio plant closure has disrupted small town America. They're scraping out what's already been hollowed out. Unbelievable. The guys are there holding signs, stop offshoring, keep our jobs here. General Motors' decision to close the Lordstown, Ohio assembly plant this year is leaving the small community of Americans in disarray and more disaffected than ever before. In a New York Times report, American workers have been recently told have been laid off due to GM's closure of this plant, say their community, families, and livelihood basically hang in the balance while the multinational corporation and its CEO, Mary Barra, carried on unaffected, also slated to close is GM's Detroit Hamburg and Warren transmission plants in Michigan and the Baltimore operations plant in Maryland, a move that expects to leave about 15,000 laid off in the U.S. and Canada. Guys, when these guys have a small town that they're in, and the majority of the small town is working at these plants, and these plants are offshored to another country, you know, remember Donald Trump gave these corporations huge tax cuts in order to stay in America, reinvest in America, pay their workers more. They didn't do it. They used the money to offshore and used the money to buy back their own stocks to run the stock market up. And they're not producing more. Yep. They're actually producing less. And they're actually being less productive as far as for the American population. And you have these workers that are making $20, $30, $40 an hour working at these plants that are being laid off and being told, go get another job. And they're in a small town that has no other jobs because when 10,000 people get laid off in one little bitty town, they can't fulfill the jobs in that area. They can't. There aren't 10,000 other jobs making that kind of money. So these people then are stuck with houses that have just been devalued that they probably paid $400,000 or $500,000 for that are now worth $100,000 because everybody puts all their homes on the market at once to try to get out of the town to go get a job somewhere else, which leaves these individuals filing bankruptcy. Now, are you listening to me, friends? It leaves these individuals there, unless they have financial wherewithal and their homes are paid for and they have savings in the bank, it leaves them basically having to sell their assets at a fire sale or having the bank foreclose on their assets and having to file bankruptcy and move somewhere else. This is the extent of what Donald Trump has allowed to happen with all of this stuff. It never ends. It never, ever ends. Well, we give all these guys money. But remember, through interlocking corporate directorships, these corporations, 95% of them are owned or controlled to the international banking cartels. That's who runs the world. And they run an organized crime syndicate around the world that distributes the drugs and the pharmaceuticals and the unbelievable trash vaccines that they put into people to try to dumb them down. All of this stuff is based through the same group of people. And if we understand this, it starts making sense. If we don't understand it, then all we do is sit here and scratch our head and go, what the heck is going on? I have no idea this is happening. By the way, Sweden is now telling its citizens that they need to hoard their banknotes and their cash because they're going towards a cashless society. And now Swedes have finally recognized the fact that if there's a cyber attack and they have no cash, they won't be able to buy or sell anything because the computers will be down. So now they're all being urged to stockpile coins and banknotes in case the country's move towards a cashless society leaves them without money in a cyber crisis. You know, newsflash, why didn't you think about that before you went cashless? Why didn't you think about that before you decided to pull the cash off the streets and have everybody go into basically a cashless society? Why didn't you? By the way, aging baby boomers are about to push Alzheimer's disease sky rates, sky high. The baby boomers now are going into their, I guess, into their 60s and 70s, and what they're finding is this. Baby boomers being born from 1945 to 1960, all of a sudden now we have all these baby boomers that are coming down with senile dementia and Alzheimer's disease. Now think about it for a second. If a baby boomer over the age of 50 gets a flu shot that contains mercury, they increase the risks of senile dementia by like 300%. 500%. It's like doubles or triples. It's ridiculous what happens with senile dementia because the mercury is so toxic to the brain. But yet they're pushing people over the age of 50, over the age of 60, over the age of 70 to constantly get vaccinations, especially flu shots with thimerosal, mercury in the multiviral flu shot. So we have to understand that these guys are really, really bad news. The guys that are pushing these drugs and pushing all of this stuff on us, they don't want to cure Alzheimer's disease. They want to do as much as they possibly can to extract more money from the people and the people's families who have Alzheimer's disease by putting them through the industrial medical complex. The things that I've seen that have worked for some cases, now I'm not making a claim as far as curing anything, I'm not doing that, is coconut oil, vitamin E, B-complex, chelation. There's all kinds of things that I've seen anecdotal evidence for as far as helping ameliorate the symptoms of Alzheimer's and senile dementia. And we also have to remember, guys, that a lot of these same baby boomers are being put on tricyclic antidepressants, serotonin reuptake inhibitors, all kinds of other drugs. Why? Because they can get more money out of them that way. I've never heard or seen anybody that's gone on psychiatric drugs that it worked out well for them. Not one single person. Now, there are people out there who've got quirks, who act kind of weird, but that doesn't mean they need to be on a psychiatric drug. Now, there are people, some people out there that are absolutely nuts, and the psychiatric drugs don't really help them. It just makes them, more of a docile individual, but it doesn't really cure anything. I've seen that too. So there are people that are nuts that can benefit the rest of the society either by being put into an institution or by putting on psychiatric drugs, but that's very, very, very rare. The vast majority of the people that are given electroconvulsive shock therapy or psychiatric drugs or whatever are because they've disagreed with a counselor or with a psychiatrist, with a psychologist, or they've gotten into a fight with their spouse, or they've gone in for marital counseling, been recognized or been recommended and referred back to a psychiatrist. And these people get caught into that medical complex, and suddenly, because they don't have proper legal representation, they get dragged off into a ditch. I mean, guys, I've seen it. I've seen it personally, my own family. I've seen it. And you got to be really, really, really careful, guys, whenever you get psychiatrists involved in your life. Because these guys could do all kinds of weird things, like call the state on you, have you picked up. And now with the red flag gun laws they have in the United States, you start going to a psychiatric counselor, start getting on psychiatric medications, which you probably shouldn't do. There's all kinds of natural things, and that should be your last resort. And suddenly one of your family members finds out you're doing this, you may have a red flag gun law called in on you, bud, girl, lady, man, whatever, whoever you are, because they may decide that you're not mentally competent any longer to be carrying a firearm. Think through what's going on. Think through what you're doing, especially when you get psychiatric people and people with the state or the Department of Family Services or any of these alphabet agencies involved in your life. The best thing to do is just to avoid these people like the plague. What do you think, Oz?
That's well said. And, I mean, we're reaching a point where, I mean, they're going to start implementing more and more laws under the table, under the front page, everything they can do to keep them as low-key as possible or under the guise of protecting everybody. And so, I mean, we've already seen that numerous states now, you try to buy a firearm and you have a medical marijuana card, even for, medical purposes with CBD, THC oil, these different types of THC compounds. They'll tell you can't buy a firearm now. They've done this numerous times all across the country. Next, they've already seen what we've seen with the doctors where they go in and you start having an issue and they ask you, how many firearms do you have in your home? All that stuff's being recorded. We see now the red flag gun law that pretty much is an open carte blanche to the judges and the sheriffs to pretty much take your firearms under the semblance of any type of reason that they can construct against you or a family member can construct against you and put on the record, then they can come and essentially strip your firearms. They're doing all these things very covertly to put us in this invisible prison and disarm us as quickly as possible. So when the time comes and they make sure that the population does not have any more firearms, all these things can slowly start being implemented person by person, street by street, city by city, county by county, state by state. And that's exactly what we're doing now. I mean, we've already seen now thousands of firearms have been confiscated in Florida just in the last year alone since Parkland. Remember, Parkland was like a year and a half ago. And now we've already seen now the reports. I can't get any honest, true numbers, but from the numbers that I'm even seeing, we've already seen upwards of 2,000 firearms taken from individuals in the United States, in the state of Florida alone. And, in some of those people, they may be counting that in as far as they were felons or they actually were nuts and they were running around the street with a gun saying they were going to shoot people. Sometimes crazy people do crazy stuff. Most of those people don't even need to be out in society if they are full-blown nuts and they need to be institutionalized, like Dad said. But the reality is that's a very, 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 very small portion of the population. Very small. But what we're seeing now is the prevalence of using the excuse to disarm people simply based on your values and beliefs and disagreements with individuals, like we saw, you guys remember up in Maryland, you know, a couple months ago or 6 months ago as it was now, when the individual, the guy, had an argument with his sister-in-law that was essentially a Clinton supporter. He was a Trump supporter. They got in a big argument. She got mad the next day, called the sheriff's department on him, said he had firearms, and she was mad, and she didn't like his rhetoric, and she thought he was a danger to everyone. Turned around, the sheriff showed up the next day with a red flag gun order, demand that he come out of the house, demand that they take his firearms, and he said no. Got in a tussle with the cop and in his own house, in his hallway, and then somehow he got shot in the head while he was fighting with the cop on the ground. Read the report on that one. So this is what we're constantly seeing now, is the excuse to disarm the population. Also, too, in other news, the absolute requirement, necessity for omega-3 fats. Another study, again, has revealed that pregnant women who have low omega-3 levels may negatively affect infant health. The recent study found that omega-3 consumption of pregnant women living in France was significantly lower than the recommended daily intake, which they said posed a risk for the infant's health. Researchers from France looked at the dietary lipid and polysaturated fatty acid intakes of 28 pregnant and 21 breastfeeding French women. The participants completed a 7-day food questionnaire that had 1,305 food items to determine their fatty acid consumption and supplemental intake. The French researchers collected the participants' data conducted in 06 and 07 and then compared the results with that of 742 women of childbearing age. The researchers found that the participants' average daily consumption of omega-3s in France was much lower, and that these populations had, because they had no pregnant and breastfeeding women meeting the recommended daily intake. The study suggested the low omega-3 intake could negatively affect fetal brain membranes, which could dampen infants' cognitive and visual development during the first years of life. From their findings, the researchers urged pregnant and breastfeeding women to massively increase their omega-3 consumption. These published were published in the findings of the Journal of Prostaglandins and Essential Fatty Acids. So this is something that is so important over and over and over again. We talk about it. The omega-3 fats are essential. Whether it's the Himalaya, whether it's the old-fashioned cod liver oil, whether it's the cinnamon cod, whether it's the omega-3 capsules, you have to make sure you're getting omega-3 fats. Especially as adults, you need them for energy, for cognitive functioning, for mood. They're crucial. But pregnant, when you're pregnant or breastfeeding, it is so important that that baby is getting adequate omega-3s in its diet, because you are that life source. When you're carrying it for 9 months, you're the only thing that is keeping it alive with your diet. Same thing when you're breastfeeding. If you're breastfeeding, it's so crucial. And if you're not breastfeeding and you have to go with like the goat's milk formula that we have in the Train Up Your Children the Way They Should Eat book, then you need to make sure that you're adding cod liver oil to that. We have that whole recipe in there. But omega-3 is such a crucial nutrient for young children and infants alike. So I just wanted to kind of reiterate that again, because I feel like so many people have kind of lost that as far as the omega-3 addition into the child's diet. And that's why we even carry the children's cod liver oil, this strawberry cod, which I give to Hunter and Kendall every single day. And a little, you know, like a little teaspoon of it, half a teaspoon of it for Kendall. It tastes great. They swallow it right down. And it's a good, clean, pure, good-tasting cod liver oil that is just crucial for these children when they're at this age in life, Deb.
Omega-3 fats can't be understated. They're critical for children's brain development. They're critical for your brain, keeping it healthy. I mean, I took another big swig of cod liver oil last night. I mean, I'm used to it. I don't really dislike it. I don't necessarily like it either, but I just take it all the time, along with the black seed oil and the borage oil and all the essential fats and the coconut oil. You say, well, why do you do that so much? And I said, well, because I know what they do and how important they are and how healthy they are. By the way, the FDA has added a black box warning to sleep insomnia drugs. It means they can cause death, suicide, etc. They've been warning. I had a friend of mine who was a pastor last year. He committed suicide, and I personally believe he was on sleeping pills that make you want to kill yourself. That's what I believe, along with other kinds of psychiatric drugs. It's about time move. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has mandated that drug companies put what is referred to as black box warning on certain prescription sleeping pills. These are super dangerous. That's why we have a protocol on the website. It's called Sleep Like a Baby Protocol. guys, sleeping pills just need to be avoided. I mean, you've got Xanax, you've got Librium, you've got Valium, you've got Lunesta, you've got Dalmine, you've got Doral, you've got Rosarum, Retirol, Halcyon, Sonata. All of these different things are being used for sleeping pills, and all of these drugs are associated with significant risks. Perhaps with these drugs include the fact that they're more highly addictive and very poor candidates for long-term use. Common side effects include dizziness, drowsiness, impaired condition. It's important not to drive or engage in any type of potential dangerous activities while on these drugs, and alcohol should never be consumed with these drugs, and it could be fatal. And most serious side effects of the conventional sleeping pills and anti-anxiety drugs relate to the effects on memory and behavior, because these drugs act in a powerful manner on brain chemistry. Significant changes in brain function and behavior can occur, including an increased risk for dementia. Several severe memory impairments have been noted, and amnesia events can also occur, as well as nervousness, confusion, hallucination, bizarre behavior, extreme irritability, aggressiveness, and suicidal thinking. Guys, these are major problems. So I always tell people, you know, what I do at night, 2 hours before I go to sleep, I take 2 scoops of Total Rest and 2 scoops of magnesium brain food, 2 hours before I go to sleep. An hour before I go to sleep, I take a sublingual melatonin. And then what I do when I go to sleep, right at the same time, I take another sublingual melatonin. And I'm out. I'm out for 6 or 8 hours, just like a baby. Wake up super refreshed and feeling great. Guys, it's so easy to do that, because a lot of times the reason you're not sleeping anyhow is because of magnesium deficiency, because we have big, huge magnesium deficiencies everywhere in the United States. Almost everybody's magnesium deficient. So why don't you give your body what it needs, because magnesium helps to relax you. The other day I'd run out of the magnesium, Austin, and I didn't have any. I hadn't gone to the office to pick any up for various reasons, and I'm just being negligent. And I first night I slept okay. It was not because I had the Total Rest. The second night was just Total Rest. I slept okay, but it wasn't nearly as good of a rest as I normally have. I was back on it again 2 nights ago, and now I feel absolutely wonderful again. It makes a huge difference when you get enough sleep, and it's the good deep sleep with the REM sleep with the rapid eye movement. Guys, I love you. I have the opportunity and the privilege to pray for you again today. You guys rock. I'll be honest with you. To me, not going to Europe right now with everything that's happening over there is no big deal. And I'd rather be here doing the show with Austin and basically doing the best we possibly can to bring you the world news the best way we know how to. I love you guys. I appreciate you. And I will talk to you guys tomorrow.
I appreciate everything, guys. Thank you so much for the continued support. Healthmasters.com. Be sure to check out the website and the product of the week. Ultimate Multiple Powder on sale now for 10% off. It will be on till Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. Great product, awesome. And also, too, be sure to vote for other products of the week that will be winning on Wednesday. I think the beet juice powder is actually pulling ahead pretty strong. So thank you so much for the support. Thank you for forwarding our shows. Thank you for your support of HealthMasters.com. You guys have an awesome, blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.